magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, February 24th, 2026. Today and tomorrow, we're going back into the archives to share an interview with John MacArthur, creatively recorded over the phone. Joining me in the studio for this interview was Pastor Jason Schiffo. I set up the interview by sharing this is going to be a unique program, which was in fact broadcasted around this time 14 years ago. Here is yours truly, Mark Burns, on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
You're going to hear of a unique program today. Pastor Jason and I recently had a discussion, a conversation with John MacArthur, a well-known Bible teacher, author of 75 books over the years, a conference speaker, pastor, senior pastor, and many of you have heard his program. It's heard at 5 a.m. on WGNN, and it's heard at 1 p.m. on WGNJ. Well, recently I got a book called At the Throne of Grace, A Book of Prayers, penned by John MacArthur. Actually, the idea and concept came from his children, and they said, Dad, we would like to collect some of those wonderful God-honoring prayers and put them in a book. And so you're going to hear a little about that conversation. But why I have Jason also in the studio is because John MacArthur has been kind of your hero or mentor, or I don't know if you use the word hero, but you've been discipled under him, if you will, through his teaching, through many books that you've read. And you said, gosh, I'd love to interview him.
Yeah, a lot of his stuff that really resonated with me. Now, there are some things where I would say, John, I don't know if I agree on that. I know that John takes a pretty hard line on, you know, the type of music that you would play in church or the way that you might reach people in terms of getting them the gospel. I mean, he's very staunch on not bringing the world into the church and to allow that to use a message. If you go to Grace Church, and I've seen the podcast and that, it's very, very traditional. I mean, it wouldn't be out of character or out of place with the church 30 years ago prior to kind of the seeker movement. But what John really does, and he says this in the interview, is he is all about the truth. And I really appreciate where he holds scripture. In fact, when I was reading one of his books, he made this comment, and he said that we need to have a scripture-guided life, not one that's guided by our circumstances, but instead by the revelation of God that comes through his word. And that just spoke to me in terms of John's orientation and what it is that John's approach is to the word. He just elevates the word so high and says, look at all we do, we must do to glorify God. And I think you're going to really get that through this interview.
And what you're going to hear is a little extra. Now, Jason said, oh, include that. But typically when we have an interview, we talk with the guests before we go on the air. And generally, I'll pray up the program. I'll say, hey, let me pray for our broadcast. And so in light of some of the comments and some of the kidding around, we are including most all that was recorded. I begin by asking John, would he feel comfortable us asking him an array of questions, not just on the topic of his new book, At the Throne of Grace? And he says, sure, go ahead. So you'll hear that in just a minute. This was recorded just a few days ago, and you'll hear John MacArthur on right away, and we'll have this broken into two parts, today and tomorrow, and then we'll come on after about 15 minutes and close out the program. So here you're going to hear our conversation with John MacArthur, beginning with asking him a few questions and talking about his new book, At the Throne of Grace.
No, you're more than welcome to ask me whatever you choose.
Okay. And our desire is to break this into, if we can, two morning programs. Our typical morning program is about 23 minutes. And so you won't hear all this, but we will be singing you praises, talking about your many books. We'll be highlighting when they can hear you. So all those warm fuzzies, rather than just spending your time hearing them, they will be into the program. We will promote the book after we're through with the segment that we share over the air. So we'll say a lot of things. I'll do a formal introduction. So
well, that'll protect my eternal reward.
But there is one question that I'm going to ask you. This has got Jason, my co-host, a little nervous, but I think it'll be a fun one. And then we'll go right into the book on prayer. So we'll start.
Sure, feel free to ask anything.
Okay. Well, let me pray up our program and we'll just ask God to be at work. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity just to come before our listeners and share John with them, his legacy, his insights, his great ability to teach your word and to proclaim the gospel message. We just ask now for John, for his health, for his stamina, the wherewithal to do all these interviews and to pour himself out. May you replenish that. May you enthuse and encourage and bless him just as he narrates through the things you've taught him and the goodness that you've showered on him throughout the years. We pray for his wife, his family, his grandchildren, and just what will be said and shared, that our listeners will be drawn closer to you, that they'll either gather nuggets or insights or information or just be convicted or challenged to look at you or look at prayer in a different light. And so we ask for your blessing, your guidance, your overshadowing grace, certainly your involvement, and just the miraculous ways you can use radio for your kingdom purposes. So help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And thank you.
Before we get into the book, and this has got Jason a little nervous, but this may or may not be something that we'll have in the program, but I will have introduced you and we'll begin our conversation now. Now, John, I have introduced you to our radio listeners and mentioned that you have 4 children and 15 grandchildren. But the question that I'd like to ask, because I know your son Matthew and Mark and your daughters Marcy and Melinda all have M's in their name, are your 15 grandchildren all also with M's?
No. We killed that idea pretty fast. The first of the 15 was John. We bagged the M's.
Well, I just thought that was unique. Was there a pattern or something? I mean, the Matthew and Mark is pretty obvious.
No, it's just about sermon alliteration, I guess. I tried to alliterate my kids. We always kind of loved the names Matthew and Mark. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just kind of fell in line that way, and I'm not sure there's any rhyme or reason for it other than the whim of the moment.
Well, John, this is Pastor Jason, and I just have a couple of questions in terms of the book. I've read a lot of your books, and like I think that Mark said, at our house we listen to the Grace to You either, now we can listen to it on iTunes, but we've listened to it in a number of ways throughout the years. But I was intrigued when I saw you come out with a book on prayer because, I mean, you've written 75 books. You've been in ministry there at Grace for 40-plus years, but why a book on prayer now and not ever before, really?
Well, I have written other books on prayer through the years, probably a handful of books that deal with prayer, a book on the disciples' prayer and some other things on prayer. But this was very, very different. Through the years that I've been here, every Sunday morning when we gather together, I pray a pastoral prayer. You know, I view the church gathering to worship God. God is the one that we are worshiping. Everything is geared toward Him. It's not geared toward unbelievers in the community that we're trying to wow. It's not even geared necessarily for the comfort of the saints. It's about worshiping God. And with that in mind, we begin the service with the reading of Scripture that discloses to us truth about God. All we know about God is revealed to us on the pages of Scripture. So I read the Scripture, and then based upon that reading, I pray a prayer of worship and adoration and praise to God that also encompasses submission to Him and confession of sin, so that the service begins with that worship. I start as the priest who brings the people before God, and then I become the prophet who brings the word of God to the people now that they're gathered around His throne. Over the years, those prayers have had a very unique role in our church life. They are theological, they are worshipful. The people have always responded, and so people would always say to me, we want these prayers. Would you write them down, put them in a book, can we get a hold of them? And I've always said, no, they're prayers, and I offered them to the Lord, and that's just our church congregation. Well, anyway, my kids trumped me. My 4 kids all got together and said, Dad, we're gonna pull 54 of these prayers that you've prayed through the thousands of Sundays, and we want to put them in a book because we think they'll encourage people about the aspect of prayer as worship and how we are to pray. And so I agreed with the provision that I get one look at them before they put them in a book to make sure that I didn't say anything that I wanted to edit. And the kids put the book out because they felt it was so representative of that very important aspect of our church life for all these years that nobody would know about who wasn't here.
Yeah, in the book here, I think it's on page 9, you said this, and it dovetails right off of what you were saying. Your kid said, in his prayers, our dad was carrying our family into the holy presence of the sovereign God of the universe. And at our church, I'm really passionate about men especially dads, reclaiming this mantle of being the patriarch of their family, this role that God has instilled in them to lead and guide and teach their family. And could you speak to that maybe? Because it's obvious that that was important to you.
Well, you know, as a preacher, you run a real danger because you stand up and speak the word of God on Sunday in the public place. And the danger is that that's not what happens in the private place.
Mm-hmm.
And the casualties to that are your children. My kids said in that book, and I never read anything that they wrote until it was in print, but what they said was we learned our theology in our dad's prayers. And what they meant by that was not that I didn't preach that theology, but that when that theology came out in the private place, when that theology came out in the quiet place, when that theology came out in my prayers around the table and by every bed where I'd go from bed to bed at night and pray with each one, they knew that that was my heart. And those prayers were always theological. Obviously, we would bring requests to the Lord, but it was more about worshiping Him, honoring Him, glorifying Him, wanting His name to be lifted up and His will done and His kingdom advanced. And that's how they learned the sort of theology that places God in a rightful place. And that, look, what is more important than that as a legacy to your kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. So why do you think, because you said on another page in the book there that prayer is a time that we set aside specifically for worship, either in private or in the midst of a congregation. Could you maybe speak to why you think it's so hard? I mean, that's as a pastor I run up against. Prayer is the hardest thing for people to engage, either publicly or in private.
For one thing, it's work, and you're all alone, and there's nobody watching, and it takes a certain discipline. You know, we don't have any problem praying when we just found out our child had a car accident and, you know, is in critical care. We rush into God's presence eagerly with the painful realities of life. But worshipful prayer is a kind of discipline that is cultivated by thinking about God and His glory. So here is what I'm trying to say in this book and demonstrate in this book is you pray back the scriptures to God. People will say, you know, I try to pray a long time, but 15 minutes into prayer and I'm done because I can't think of anything else to say. Well, try this. Open your Bible to the Psalms, just any place, and just read a verse and pray it back to God. Read, you're my refuge, my protection, my fortress, my strong tower, and then just stop and pray about that. God, you've been my refuge. You protected me this and that. You have been my strength in times of weakness. And then go to the next verse and pray that. Or go to Psalm 19 and the heavens declare the glory of God and stop and thank God for the majesty of His creation, the wonder of day and night and the seasons and the provision of food. And there's no end to praying back the revelation of God, which is saying to Him, I honor you for this. I believe these things to be true of you. I exalt you for this. I submit to your authority in my life. I praise you for your grace. And you read the New Testament, when we were enemies, you set your love on us in Romans. And I just think scripture-informed prayer, it becomes worshipful prayer because it's nothing about our circumstances to start with. It's all about His revelation of Himself. And I think people can learn to pray. And they can learn to pray in a prolonged way, worshipful prayers, by praying the scripture back to God. And that's what I've done on all these prayers that I've prayed for years and years and years with our congregation. And it's also how my personal prayer tends to rise out of scripture. People say, what about your prayer life? And I say, it's connected to my study of the Word of God. Every week I'm preparing messages and writing things on the scripture, and that's what gives rise to my praise and my worshipful prayer. The request part of it comes easy. That's the spontaneous part. The cultivated worship of prayer is the challenge. And so in churches, if you short-circuit people on the Word of God, if you don't teach them sound, rich theology, if they're not familiar with Scripture, then it's hard for them to pray that way. Another way to view it would be we love worship. We talk about worship music. And we love to sing songs that somebody else wrote because they say things in a way we can't say them. We sing hymns and songs, and we love to do that. That's a form of worship. And it offers glory and honor to God and thanks Him for the cross and all of that. well, why don't we do the same thing in prayer without the music?
Mm-hmm.
That's the purest, kind of the stark form of worship.
In case you just tuned in, we have John MacArthur on the phone with us. We're talking about his book, At the Throne of Grace, a book of prayers, one of about 75 books that John has penned over the years. Many of you know him through Grace to You, a program that we carry on WGNN at 5 a.m. and on WGNJ at 1 p.m. But John, it seems like in Luke 1, the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray. And there seems to be like a pattern in the Lord's Prayer. Can you maybe touch on the Lord's Prayer and maybe that being a model or a pattern for us?
Yeah, you can sing the Lord's Prayer, and it's been set to music a number of ways. You can actually pray the Lord's Prayer. But the point of it is not that it be a repeated prayer, but that it be the structure for all prayer. So all prayer starts, Our Father who art in heaven, acknowledging the sovereign God who has a heavenly supply for all that we need. So you acknowledge God. Your hallowed be your name. Your name be sanctified, set apart. Your name be exalted. Your name, that is all that you are. The name of God is I am that I am. You're saying this is all about you. So all prayer begins with the recognition of the sovereignty of God, the glory of God, the majesty of God, and then that His kingdom would come, that His agenda would be fulfilled, that His will would be done. That's what that's teaching us. Dependence on a God who is our Father, who loves us, who has limitless resources in heaven. But the primary agenda is that His name, His kingdom, His will be fulfilled. And then, oh, by the way, give us our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Forgive us our trespasses. So all of our personal requests and personal needs are captured within the greater framework of the purposes of God.
You know, I heard an interesting thing years ago, and I would like to get your insight on this. It seemed like the Hebrew mindset of the time was always like communal, if you will. When they referred to God, it wasn't like, give me just myself or minister to me or answer my prayers. It's like, answer my prayer for my daily needs, Lord, and all those that also have needs, or our Father, like we approach Him as a community almost. It wasn't just all about me. My prayers are, Lord, I need a job. Lord, I need an answer to this. It was oftentimes, Lord, I need a job, but help all those that are searching for a job. Did you find that in your research or study?
Well, yeah, the prayer, first of all, is focused on God, our Father, your name, your kingdom, your will. Very specific. The second aspect is give us, give us, give us. So it never uses a singular pronoun. All of our requests need to be in the collective sense that we're saying, God, we want you to be glorified, whatever advances your glory, and whatever blesses your people. It's not about me, it's about the church. It's about the redeemed. Answer my prayer in a way that gives you glory and benefits and blesses your people.
In case you just tuned in, you're hearing a conversation that Pastor Jason and I recently recorded with John MacArthur, and he came out with a new book, At the Throne of Grace, and you can purchase that by going to their church's website, gracechurch.org. It's called At the Throne of Grace. It's by Harvest House Publishing. It's a great book. It's really recounting many of his prayers over the years that his children compiled. And for the next couple days, we're going to have him back tomorrow. We're going to air part two of our conversation and talk a little more about prayer. And then I think, Jason, that'll lead us probably into Wednesday. We can share some more about prayer. But one of the interesting things that I wrote down that John MacArthur mentioned is praying scripture back to God. And I don't think I've ever really had the practice. I was just taught, pray what comes to mind, pray, you know, what's on your heart. But you had said, you know, sometimes, Mark, it's great to look at a psalm and then to personalize that psalm in your own words, but allow the scriptures to kind of be prayed back, if you will, to God.
Yeah, I love that he said, we sing other people's songs, so why wouldn't we then take God's word and use God's word as a prayer? He said to cultivate a life of worship through God's word. Right away, it made me think of that whole analogy that Jesus uses about the sower and the different types of soil. And if it's good soil, you'll have a harvest that's 40, 60, 100 times. And I think that harvest and that, you know, we're talking about God's word. And God's word is one of the greatest harvesting tools that we can use, one of the greatest tools that we can use. So when he says you're cultivating a life of worship through the word of God, that was challenging not only on multiple levels for me, because I sing other people's songs. I mean, I think when I came in the door here, I was singing a Beatles song that was on in the car, you know, Michelle. I was singing that song. And I want to challenge myself to sing God's song through his word. You know, the disciples asked Jesus, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And some of us, we need to ask God, God, will you teach us how to pray? Can we go to God's word and can we be bold enough to say, Lord, will you teach us how to pray? Can we open up to the Psalms and say, Lord, will you teach us how to pray? Because the Psalms are filled with David crying out to the Lord, asking the Lord, Lord, how do I stand in your presence? How do I stand against these people? How do I pray? And I love in Psalm 116 and verse 12, I was sharing with Mark a few minutes ago, he says, how can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. And I just look at that and I go, Lord, thank you so much. I can pray, Lord, thank you so much that in fulfilling my vows, I can proclaim and exalt your name in front of the people, God, through your salvation and your saving grace, Lord, that I can do that. And this one little Psalm 116 verses 12, 13, and 14 can become the cornerstone of a prayer that just exalts God's name.
And we can talk about maybe over the next few days, postures of prayer. Some people will hold their hands up, some will prostrate themselves onto the floor or kneel or just close their eyes or walk and pray. I mean, there's so many different ways to approach God, and it doesn't have to even be lengthy prayers. Was it Nehemiah that, you know, when the king said something, he was like, he said, oh God, help. I mean, it was like a three-word prayer or something. I think it was Nehemiah, but there's just so much to say about prayer. And we appreciate John MacArthur for carving out time. We're going to go with part two tomorrow. We're going to talk some more about at the throne of grace. And Jason also asked some questions about the state that the church is in. So we invite you to hear part two tomorrow, and we'll continue our discussion even into Wednesday on the topic of prayer. We highly recommend it. God loves you. He loves to answer prayer. He loves to have you just pause and hear him speak to you through his word, through just his handiwork, through what he'd bring into your life this very day. So draw near to him and he'll draw near to you.
As mentioned in the opening remarks, this interview was broadcast almost exactly 14 years ago, and I wanted to bless you with it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.